So last week, we got commissioned in our graduation ceremony. We got sent out into the battlefield to go do our jobs. And this week, I want to talk to us about what battlefield life looks like. If you think about, again, most of the stuff I've seen in TV, I mean, I read about it and learned about it in school, but it's been a while since I was in school. You consider the way people have done war over the centuries and millennia, things have gotten a lot different more recently than they had been. Back in the quote-unquote good old days, you just went at each other with swords, and some people would, like, get on horses and, you know, run you over, and that's how you fought, and there were different battle strategies for that, where squads were aligned, and that's what, during the time frame that Paul would be writing Ephesians 6, the Romans had perfected warfare, which is why they basically ruled the civilized world, because they had all of the gear that they needed in order to conquer their enemies, and they did that together in one big strong unit. They had their shields, they had tactics and things like that to win war. And as it progresses, things change. You know, eventually we invent guns, and that creates a whole different way of doing war. Then we invent things that we can shoot up in the air and, like, have them explode over top of other people. And you invent cannons that shoot big things, and tanks, and drones, and, you know, intercontinental ballistic missiles, right? Things have been growing and changing over the long course of time. But when you think back, especially in the history of our country, anyone else think that it's really funny when you watch something about the Revolutionary War and, like, the British and even the American army at the time just, like, stood in lines and took three paces, knelt down, and everyone said fire, and you shoot, and then it's the other person's turn to do the same thing. It's insane, right? Well, there's actually good reasons behind why they did that, based on, you know, the fact that they had heavy cavalry and they could charge you down, and if you needed to be in an alignment, you had to have your bayonet. But it's just a dumb way to fight a war, okay? Especially nowadays, you don't just stand out in the open and then take three steps, kneel down, and take a shot, and then take a minute to reload, right? That's a terrible way of doing warfare. Another terrible way of doing warfare was what took place in World War I. Because of, the inventions of warfare that were being made, it necessitated a change in battle tactics because they had rifles that would shoot a round every so often, you know, a couple rounds a minute, maybe. But then they invented these things called machine guns that could shoot hundreds of bullets in a minute, and you could no longer do war like everybody was accustomed to, where you could just stand there, like, duck behind a thing, turn around, pop one off. You know, that was no longer a thing, because anytime you were out in the open, you just got mowed over with a machine gun. So then, during World War I, in order to prevent tons of people from dying, they said, you know what, machine guns have an advantage when you're standing out in the open, so we're going to dig trenches. And so they dug a bunch of trenches into the ground where the soldiers would be, like, prairie dogging out of the trench to try and shoot off so that when the machine guns started firing, you could duck back down. And it was a big stalemate. And if you look at some of the – you can look at some photos online of aerial shots of the areas that World War I was fought over in Europe, and you can still see the zigzagging trenches in the ground. Obviously, they kind of covered it up now, but you can see the trenches and how they fought the war for years, standing in trenches infested with rats, which everyone moaned, ugh, gross. Okay, and their water, and they had all these different problems, but they worked together. And what happened was there was, like, this distance where if you got any closer, you would get mowed over with a machine gun, and also became in range of mortars and other things and gas and stuff that they were shooting over into the trenches. And so basically form a big stalemate where there's this chunk of land where it's called no man's land. Nobody owns it. Nobody goes out there because you're going to end up dead. And everything that's out there is either dead or blown to pieces. And until they decided to invent tanks and other different tactics, that's kind of how they did it. Standing in mud and water, shooting. In trench warfare, it wasn't an easy thing to define success when it was just standing still. And so today I want us to understand that just like in World War I in trench warfare, our job is not to stand still and fight the same trench over and over and over again. It's the same goal in trench warfare was to make forward progress and then stay there and not have you lose ground again. One of the scariest things about being in trench warfare was being sent over. You would climb up a ladder, you'd yell, and you'd try to run across no man's land where there's fences, barbed wire, dead things, blowing up things, and you try to get into the other enemy's front trench. And behind their front trench, then there was a secondary trench and a reserve trench, and then whatever other trenches were back there, there were multiple lines of defense that if you did make a good enough charge somewhere, they would run back to the next trench, and congratulations, you got a different hole in the ground. But what we don't want to do, just like in trench warfare, is stay in the one trench that we've fought to be in, and constantly stay there and fight that same battle over and over and over again. We want to defend the ground that we have made so that we can make even more forward progress. In military terms, this is the idea of consolidation. And you might think consolidation is in the business term of like getting all things into one spot, but consolidation is the idea that you now have gained new ground and you want to make sure you don't lose it. You want to keep it. And so just like trench warfare is a disaster, a bad way to fight a war nowadays, it's exhausting. It is a long haul, and you don't want to ever go backwards. You only ever want to make forward progress. That is what we are called to as well, and we do understand that sometimes you lose ground, sometimes you go backwards. But it is important to make forward progress and then build defenses so that you don't have to fight that trench again. Oftentimes for us as Christians, we get into this rhythm of where we fight and we make some sort of progress. We win a battle with temptation, and then the next day, the next week, it's back. And then we have to fight the same battle over and over again. And you should. Don't hear me say anything different. Don't say, just give up and go backwards. You gotta keep fighting. But in the Christian life, we often forget to build fortifications so that we can keep the ground that Jesus has given to us. We want to just fight because the Christian life is a fight. It is a war. It is against the kingdom of darkness, and we think we're just going to be fighting the same battle over and over and over again. And even in our view of like sanctification, we kind of have this defeatist attitude, which I understand because it is reality, but we have this idea like, well, this is just what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. And we resign ourselves to standing in one hole in the ground for the rest of our lives. Hopefully, I'm not just preaching to me today. Other people have experienced that as well, where no matter what you have tried, it seems like this one sin or this one issue or your one broken relationship is just the constant thorn in your side and you're stuck there. That's not victory. Jesus is making us more than conquerors. He wants us to take ground and not lose it and take more ground. Do not get yourself resigned to the trench in which you are in is the trench you will live in for the rest of your life. You can move forward. You can secure the ground you have already gained without moving backwards. So today, let's find out how the Bible teaches us to consolidate the victories that we achieve in our lives, whether it's victory over sin, which is exactly what we're looking for. That's exactly what I would be telling you need to be doing, right? But you can't just say, well, I won this battle, now on to the next, without first setting up your defenses. Because, guess what? Sin likes to come back for you. So first, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it says that we need to stand firm. The word stand is used multiple times in Ephesians 6. It says, verse 10, finally, be strengthened by the Lord and in his vast strength. It doesn't say, you've made it this far, keep going. But it's there. It's where you are if you are following the orders of our commander from last week. You are following Jesus. Jesus is right there. You stand with him and you get to absorb his strength. And by the vastness of it, then the reminder is to put on the full armor of God. We preached through this section not that long ago, but it is a good reminder because this is how trench warfare and spiritual warfare works. Is you fought a battle and you find yourself in a different place, you don't do it differently the next time. If you've had success and you have gained ground, what do? Just like when people would come up and over, they'd end up in a trench, the first thing they do is first check to make sure they're alive and not wounded, make sure that they have their gear, and then they work together to turn that trench over. Because, you know, the enemy's now over there, not back here. So we got to take the barbed wire from here and put it over here. We have to move the sandbags from here and put them over here. You work together to secure the ground that has been made. And so, just like in trench warfare, Ephesians tells us that that is the repetitious nature of spiritual warfare. Is you've made ground, now you need to check. I got all my gear with me? Because the gear got you that far. It's going to keep going. So put on the whole armor of God. Why? Be reminded that the enemy is not flesh and blood, but it is those in the spiritual places of that work, the forces of evil in the heavens. And that's why you have to put on the full armor of God, so that you may be able to stand. Stand, therefore, with truth like a belt. We have to be reminded when we make forward progress that the war isn't over and we start taking the gear off. When we finally have success, it is not the time to relax. And unfortunately for us, in our culture, in our time, in life, that's what we think we should do. We strive real hard in our workplaces so we can get a promotion or a raise, and we get there, and then we breathe a sigh of relief that we made it. You know how many times people have done that and then gotten fired because they become slackers afterwards? That's how it happens in most of our lives, and that's how we find ourselves in a cycle of, man, it seems like it's the same fight over and over and over again. Is because we thought we made progress, then we took our defenses and our awareness and just put it off to the side, and then surprise, the enemy comes back into the trench. So we have to remember that our armor isn't just for a certain amount of time, not just so you can decide, today I'm going to fight the temptation to do what is wrong, so I'm going to gear up. Your armor is what keeps you alive. And you must have it with you and on you every day, because you are at war whether you remember it or not. So you need to keep it with you at all times and on you at all times, because when you make progress, the most dangerous time, especially in trench warfare, of what's going to happen is that the counterattack is going to come right on top of you because you're not set up and ready yet. And so then we must do fortification. So when you make progress, keep your armor on you, check to make sure you have it, put it back on, and then secondly, we need to start putting up our defenses. So our armor keeps you alive, but it's not what's going to keep that trench secure. It's going to keep you alive while you fight for that trench. And the enemy fights to push you back out of the trench. But it is not going to keep the ground that you had taken for you to take, you know, keep the ground that you have taken. You need to build fortifications or walls. And you think about the story of Nehemiah. Nehemiah said the same thing. It's like, great, the people are back in Jerusalem. They've started building the temple. There's a society being rebuilt. But just because they've come back doesn't mean that they are secure. And so Nehemiah goes on a mission to build the walls of Jerusalem back up. And he builds these defenses, not because there was an imminent threat, because the emperor of the known world at the time was on their side. The people wouldn't dare, but they were making loud noises at them, right? But Nehemiah says Jerusalem will never officially be a safe place for everyone of God's people to live again until the walls are built. And so he builds physical walls with watch posts, gates, he rebuilds them. And during this process, we preached through this probably two, three years ago now, but while they're building, there are enemies that are saying they're going to do stuff, but they won't do it, but they're threatening. So Nehemiah's like, cool, we'll build with one hand and have a sword in the other hand. And that's exactly what the Christian life is like. So when we've gained ground, we don't put the sword down and start building a cute little house in the middle of a trench battlefield. We instead put up razor blade wires so that the enemy cannot come this way anymore. So we have to put up these defenses if we're going to secure the ground that we have already taken so we don't have to fight the same one over and over again. So in case you aren't already there, like if I were in the pew right now, I'd be like, cool, what are these defenses you're talking about? Because like here I am being like, what's my barbed wire? Right? What are the sandbags? Because I don't want to be frustrated living the Christian life, fighting the same fight over and over and over again. And just like this whole series has probably not been anything terribly radical, the things I'm going to tell you that you need to build in your life to keep the ground that you have taken isn't going to be radical. It's not going to be earth-shattering either. But the things that keep us in the trench that we have successfully made it to so far and set up boundaries and borders and secure defenses for. One is a regular, ideally daily, multiple times a day, intake of the Word of God. The Bible isn't given to you just so that you can say, I know that lying is wrong, therefore I will try my hardest not to lie. The Bible is there to teach you how to love the truth. And to know the truth, and to side with the truth, so that you don't lie. That's what the Bible is for. It isn't just to give you the information about what God thinks is right and wrong. It is literally to give you the ability to do what is right, and say no to what is wrong. And if we just set it off, because it's not Sunday, or it's not during my devotional time, guess what? We know our enemy, right? We met him in week one. He loves to twist truth. So if you don't remember it quite right, it's going to have a lot easier time doing it. If you're not constantly going to the Word of God so that you can see if your life is in alignment and which trench you should be going towards next, you're going to be an easy target. So that probably not terribly earth-shattering for you, but if you want to keep the ground that you have seen God work to bring in success into your life, you need to also protect it through continual intake of the Word of God. Jesus said that we are not to live by bread alone, not just by the rations we're given, but by the Word that comes out of God's mouth. Along with that, as we'll see as we move forward, is that we need to be in a continual state of communication or prayer. We need to be in touch with our commander if we want to know what we're doing, where we're going, and what we are to do. We need to tell him the problems that we're seeing and identifying, not because he doesn't know it, because he knows everything, but so that he can give you the instruction to take care of what you need to be doing. If we are not listening to the Word and we are not praying and talking to our Creator, we are going to have a whole bunch of confusion. And we're not going to know what we're doing because we're to be strengthened by His strength. So what He says and what we talk to Him about is what's going to give us the strength to keep the ground we have taken. Along with this, there's a lot of peripheral things, but I mean, those two are the central. And obviously, you know, you have to read your Bible, pray every day, right? So it's great because it is profoundly true that this is what's going to keep you safe. It's going to keep the ground you have gained, but not in a way that says you do it and it will magically happen. But you do it because that is how you got to where you are. You don't accidentally stumble into the enemy's trench and take the ground that you get. You did it through active participation with Jesus as your commanding officer. There's other things. So like when we're fighting this battle, right? A lot of what we're fighting is temptation. And guess what? Sometimes we're not going to successfully say no to temptation. And then we do what we like to call sin. That doesn't mean you lose the trench. You messed up. But you know what's there for you? Confession, repentance, and God's forgiveness. You don't have to abandon the trench just because, oops, I stumbled again. I did the wrong thing again. I thought that I had gained this ground. You don't abandon the trench and run backwards because Jesus is there saying, you can stay here. Just confess that you did it. Repent. We're back at it. I forgive you. We're going to keep going. Confession and repentance, and then having somebody that helps you, and lots of people, as we should have, helping you to stay true to what God has said is right and saying no to what is wrong. You need help and healthy relationships to keep going in the ground we have successfully taken. And in all of this, we cannot forget that God made us out of dirt and He didn't forget, and that He made the world in 6 days, and on the seventh day He took a day off. God designed you to have rest, to have time where you're not burning through all sorts of things. You need to respect that rhythm God has built into you, because if you just fight 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, full bore, you're going to wear yourself out. I'm not telling you to have a cheat day where you don't have to listen to God's commands, but I am telling you that even in the trenches, soldiers built dugouts so they could sleep. You need to understand that there are times where you just need to say, this is too much for me. God, you've got this. I'm going to go sleep. He knows that, and that's the reason He built Sabbath into creation, so that you would stop thinking that you're God. God doesn't sleep. God never closes His eyes for a couple minutes, just rests His eyes, but you need to. He's got the trench, and you can rest in knowing that He is going to keep you safe. So, here we are, we've been following Jesus. Maybe we've seen some sort of breakthrough in a relationship, a restored relationship, or success in fighting temptation. We're in the trench, and now we got to build these walls up to face the enemy so we can make more progress with Jesus. We're making sure our armor is still with us, that we're putting it back on. We're building a backwards trench. In the way that the trench is built, I was going to bring up a whiteboard, but you have a zigzag on the front, one zigzag in the second, and then you have these what are called communication trenches, right? So that you can bring supplies from the back forward, and you can run messages back, and if the enemy gets into your trench, you can run away. So we're putting all of these things into place, but you know what? We need to not forget that we are fighting this war, but we are not fighting it on our own. And I'm not even just saying you're fighting it with Jesus. I would hope that the truth is everyone in this room is participating in this war. All of us have battles we fight all week long. All of us have our own struggles, and some of us don't struggle with what the other people struggle with, and some people struggle with things that I don't struggle with. And you know what? Collectively, as the army of God, we are a life-saving resource to keep the ground you have gained. Not because we're awesome, because we're not. We're over here being like, yeah, I've made the same confession for the last, 2 months that I can't get straight. Right? But we are in it together. We are a squad, a full platoon. I'm not exactly sure what all those differences are. But we can work together to keep the trenches, to help each other keep the successes we've had in our individual spiritual lives of, you know what, great news. I've actually read my Bible multiple times this week. Cool. We're here to support that. To tell you, keep going. To listen to you tell us what you heard. You know, when someone says, you know what, I'm really struggling with this. I can't seem to be nice to this person at work. We're going to say, well, let's try and see what we can help you with. Bearing one another's burdens is part of the job. That is what we do. And we in America lose sight of it because we think it's all about us as an individual, but actively together as the army of God, we can work together to keep ground and move forward. You do not keep ground all on your own. You need one another. If you want to, you can turn to a little couple pages towards the back of your Bible to Philippians chapter 1. This is the beginning of another book that Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, and he's talking about how his imprisonment is because of Christ, and some people are speaking the gospel to spite him, and he's like, that's a fun way to spite me, that's cool, that's good with me. And then he kind of is like, I'm hoping, you know, I get to come back, but I don't know, I might end up dead, and whatever, if I end up dead, that's cool with me too, because living is for Jesus, but dying is gain if I live in the flesh. But this is what he tells the church in Philippi in verse 27. This is his first instruction to the church at Philippi. Just one thing. If there's one thing I need to tell you before I might possibly die, even though I plan on being there if I can be, this one thing. Live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, that I will hear this report about you, that you are standing firm. You are not losing ground. You are not being pushed backwards. You are pushing forward. You're standing firm in one spirit, a spirit of unity for the church. You can't stand in, we all stand firm in one spirit if we're the only one there. Paul says, I want to hear that you are living a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus because together you're working together to stand firm and then keep moving forward. It says, and with one mind, working or striving side by side for the faith that comes from the gospel, not being frightened in any way by your opponents. And this, the fact that you are striving side by side in unity, moving forward, and not being afraid of the kingdom of darkness anymore. It is a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed, and it is a sign to you that you will be delivered, and that the deliverance is from God. For it has been given to you on Christ's behalf, not only to believe in him, but to also to suffer and struggle the same way that you saw that I have, and now hear that I still have. Now in Philippians, it's not explicitly war language Paul is using. In fact, the verbs have more to do with sports. So if you don't like history and you don't like war, we can switch to sports, because that's usually the two things that everybody loves, right? War and sports. But in a similar vein of fashion, you can apply this to it is football season, so let's do that. It's football, okay? You got an offensive line, you got a defensive line, kind of like trenches, okay? And you wait for the signal, and everybody smashes together, right? And the offensive line's job is to work together to prevent the attacking team from getting to the quarterback, so the quarterback can do something hopefully good with the football. And so the offensive line has assignments. Who they're blocking, which direction they're supposed to block, what not to grab, all these things that I'm not any good at because I'm not big enough to do. I just get smacked, and I would, I'm sure, do the wrong thing. So that's the offensive line's job, but the defensive line is to not allow the offensive line to bully them and to let them have any forward progress. So if we are going to spiritualize this, Jesus has told us that we are on offense. We have the ball. And he's taken us there. So when the signal comes and we start, our job is not to lose ground. Stand firm is the first job of every offensive line. I know you guys, most of you are Vikings fans and you have a hard time with that concept. But the first job, your first job as an offensive lineman is not to take steps backwards. Okay, that's your first job. Your second job is to get a hold of the person that's right in front of you and push them backwards. That's what you're supposed to do. And that is what we as Christians are supposed to do. Every day we wake up and we throw our hands up and the first instinct is dig your feet in and don't go back. Your past is your past for a reason. And no matter what your past is, including Paul's, of killing off Christians for believing in the Messiah, it doesn't matter what's behind you. It's where we're going. And you put your feet in the ground and you say, I'm not going back this way. I'm going that way. I'm going to go right through this guy. This is the mission of the church. And this is why Jesus not only told us to go into the world and share the gospel and to push that. He said straight up that the gates of hell cannot stand against the pressure that the church is going to put on it. Gates are inside of walls, inside of a territory. And Jesus says, I'm building my church and the gates of hell won't succeed against it. We're going to push over the gates. That's what Jesus is moving us towards, and we go with him. And the first thing we do is make sure we don't lose the ground we've already successfully taken. And when I tell you that we need to hold our line, I am not saying take your opinions and dig your heels in deeper. And I'm not saying that you need to make sure that your whole family has the same opinions about every little detail about life that you do. I'm not telling you you need to make sure your neighbors care about doctrine the same way that you do. But what I am saying is that Jesus has a goal to send the gospel into every part of this entire earth so that he may be glorified, so that God can receive the credit that he is who he says he is and that Satan is a liar by dirt-made human beings pushing against spiritual forces by preaching the gospel, knowing and loving the truth. That's where we hold the line. And we can disagree on plenty of things about how that truth is expressed in our lives and in society and what our country should be doing, what your family should be doing. And that's totally fine because that isn't the definition of unity, isn't conformity. We are to conform to the image of Jesus, but not necessarily to one another. But what we can do actively together is say, I know the truth that God made us. He's in control of the world. We sinned against him. We broke the rules. And he, because he loved us, sent Jesus to die to fix the problems we made so that we can then be accepted into his family. So that we can live for all of eternity and not join the kingdom of darkness in their fate. We can agree on this. And what we should be able to agree on is no matter how much we dislike someone, no matter how long we have had a broken relationship with them, no matter how much we think that they deserve all of the pain and suffering in life, that together we would be happy to rejoice that they are reconciled to God. Because we were not God's friends when he sent Jesus to die for us. We were afar off. We were his enemies. We didn't like him. We were in the other trench fighting against him. We have an ugly life of war, but you know what? In Romans it says that we are more than conquerors. Like, it's cool to be a conqueror. It's cool to be a winner, right? But like, Paul's like, that's not even a good enough word. So, like, We're conquerors. Or we're the conquerists. We are more than successful in Jesus because of the gospel. Do not give up ground just because it's hard or because you don't have the right tools in place to build. Ask somebody else, because we're all in this ugly trench together, and that's what we're there for, is to help put things in place so you can keep the ground Jesus has brought us to already, so that you're ready for the next time we go up and over and into another ugly trench. Because we're heading towards the gates of hell and we're going to push them over. We're going to do that not through cool incantations, not through, you know, all sorts of different weird spiritual practices. We're going to do that through obeying what God says is right, saying no to temptation, repenting when we do say yes to temptation and no to God, and we're going to dig our feet in and we're going to keep moving forward. And our lifeblood, just like it was in the trenches, is communication. If it weren't for communication tunnels and then eventually the advent of the radios so that they could actually talk, we'd probably still be in trenches, to be honest. Because you couldn't call for backup when you needed it. You couldn't call for supplies when you needed it. You wouldn't be able to make forward progress without taking a whole bunch of stuff across this super dangerous area. Communication with our commanding officer and communication and community with one another is how we win. And God hasn't called us to stay put in the trench that you were born in or that you've crawled to. He's called us to the other side. So let's go. Let's push. Let's rebuild. Let's build defenses so we don't have to stay in the same ugly trench over and over again. And that might include not just asking for help from one another. It might mean you need to go seek help professionally. Like, you might need to do some really hard thinking that maybe you can't do on your own, or maybe you don't have a family member or a friend who's capable of helping you do that kind of thinking. You might need some assistance in realizing what this repeating attack, where it's coming from. It's totally fine. If you want to gain ground, you might have to do some things that you might find uncomfortable. But if it's going to reveal truth, and it's going to allow Jesus to speak to your existence and say, I am here to fix that. I have come to save you out of that. I have come to give you a life where you can be successful at what I have asked you to do. You might give up your dream for one that is better. Whatever it takes, it is war. And all things are fair in war. You can fight Satan even with things that generally our culture has decided is what we think we ought to do. And we can say, you know what? I'm going to go talk to a therapist. And maybe they're not going to give you the answer. But when you do talk to them and you learn things about yourself, about how you have a tendency to do X, Y, or Z, then you are now exposing something. And that's what the Bible says. It's just like in the purification of gold, stuff comes to the surface so that you can remove it. Through the power of Jesus, he wants to get rid of your stuff out of it, purify you, and help you move forward. So, let's make sure that we are not giving up. Period. Don't go backwards. Don't give up ground that you have, and set your eyes forward. Don't rush into it. Just like a trench, you wouldn't just jump into one trench and say, cool, let's go to the next one. Like, you might need to take a breather. Make sure your gear's with you. Make sure that your commanding officer is wanting you to go to the next trench. You know, don't forget the whole series that we did before this one, which is on the rhythms of rest, stillness. But let's regroup, build up our defenses, and get ready for the next push. Be in communication with God and in communication with each other, building unity so that together as a community of Jesus followers, we will meet him at the gates and push him over. Dear Father, thank you for your word and for the encouragement that it gives us. Help us to actually value your word enough to keep reading it. And not just to read the words, but to understand it so that we can live it. To not just know it or hear it, but to do it, put it in action. Help us to keep ground that we have successfully made it to, not on our own, but in following your son, Jesus. Help us to find our strength in him, to rest in him, and to communicate with you to make sure that we are on the same page, moving forward when you say to move forward. Thank you that Jesus ultimately has already won this war, that we are following him towards the end, that we know that he is the victor and we follow in his footsteps. But we pray, knowing that it might not be today, it might not be this week, that we get to see it come to a completion, to a complete end, that you would give us the strength to fight in the trenches, to strive, to struggle, to suffer, to push. And we pray that we would recognize that where we need to go, when we need strength, when we need to set up defenses, when we need to gain ground and dig our heels in, that the place that we go is actually the person of your Son. That in Jesus, we will be victorious. That we will find shelter. We will find rest. Help us to encourage one another to do that. Help us to be a community of believers, not just a group. One that works side by side in one spirit and one mind for the faith that comes from the gospel. Help us to be an impact in our town, our city, our state, our country. Help us to push against the darkness. In Jesus' name.